discussing verse 18. Shishriksha yam tato nabes tasya padmam vinirayo tanalam hema nalinam brahmano lokam adbhutam. This is the origin of Brahma. When Vishnu, lying in the ocean of milk, wills to create this universe, a golden lotus springs from his navel pit. The golden lotus with its stem is the abode of Brahma, representing Brahmaloka or Satyaloka. Well, this particular Vishnu is Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Purport. Gold here means the dim reflection of pure cognition. That in Sanskrit, Jiva Goswami says it. Gold refers to a term called Chit Abhas, which means Chit Shakti, or Chit Abhas means a reflection. Like we say Namabhas, a reflection of the holy name. So this gold refers to a Chit Abhas, or the hazy aspect, or a reflection of divinity. So this golden lotus, there's really not much to say on that verse. Text 19. Tatvani puravrudhani karanani parasparam samavaya prayogyaccha vivinani pritak pritak chikchaktya sajamanota bhagavan adipurushaha yojayan mayaya devo yoganidra makalpayet. Translation. This is the universes are developing. Before their conglomeration, the primary elements in their nascent state, that means the beginning, remained originally separate entities. Non-application of the conglomerating process is the cause of their separate existence. Divine Mahavishnu, primal Godhead, through association with his own spiritual chit potency, moved Maya, and by the application of the conglomerating principle, created those different entities in their state of cooperation. And after that, he himself consorted with Yoganidra by way of his eternal dalliance with his spiritual chit potency. That's another way this is said. This verse is said another way. Text number 19. Prior to their amalgamation, which means mixture, prior to their mixture, the five predominant material elements remained in their crude state, separate and different forms. At this point, the process of combining them had not yet begun. By associating with his divine potency, the original personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu, moved Maya and united those separate elements by his process of, mixing or harmonizing them. And he executed the creation of the material world. All the while, he remained absorbed in Yoga Nidra, which is his consorthood with his divine potency. Because that verse is quoted here, and the first line of this purport is Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Tunanena konteya jagati parivartate. I'll just read the verse from Prabhupada's translation. This material nature, which is one of my energies, maya akshena prakriti, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Thank you. Back to the purport, page 34. The mundane energy Prakriti gives birth to this universe of animate and inanimate beings by my direction. Right? You can say that another way. All moving and non-moving living entities are created by Mother Nature, known as Prakriti, according to my direction. My means Mahavishnu. The purport of this shloka of the Gita is that Maya, the perverted reflection of the spiritual or chit potency, was at first inactive, and her extension of matter constituting the material cause was also in a separately dislocated state. So that can be said like this. Initially, Maya, which is a shadow of the spiritual chit potency, right? Chit abhas means shadow. Maya is a shadow of the spiritual chit potency. In other words, Maya Devi or Durga is a shadow of Rama. So Maya was inactive, and the elements that she would use to cause creation were separate and not mixed, unmixed or unamalgamated. Next sentence, number 3. In accordance with the will of Krishna, this world is manufactured as a resultant of the union of the efficient and material causal principles of Maya. That can be said, by Krishna's will, in other words, by the power of Mahavishnu. It says in accordance with the will of Krishna, that means the will of Mahavishnu, or the power of Mahavishnu. This world is manifested as, by Krishna's will, in other words, by the power of Mahavishnu, the different parts of Maya were united, and the result was the material world was manifest. Next sentence. In spite of that, the Supreme Lord Himself remains united with His chit potency yoga nidra. Another way to say that, despite that whole thing, creation, throughout that entire function, the Supreme Lord Himself remained united with His divine chit potency, sometimes known as yoga nidra. The word yoga nidra or yoga maya indicates as follows. The nature of chit potency is manifestive of the absolute truth. In other words, the nature of the chit potency is to illuminate or reveal the absolute truth. The absolute truth is Krishna. So if you want to understand Krishna or have Krishna revealed to you, then you have to have the mercy of Shakti, right? So here it's saying that the chit Shakti will reveal Krishna to you. So that chit shakti, this is what bhakti is all about. Bhakti is considered this chit potency. That's why we say, oh my dear Radharani, oh energy of the Lord, right? Oh shakti of the Lord, oh potency of the Lord, oh ladini shakti. Please engage me in Krishna's service. Because by engaging in Krishna's service, by the mercy of Radharani and by the mercy of her shakti, then Krishna will be revealed. Right? Atasri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayendriya Sevan Mukhehi Jivado Swayam Eva Spuratyada. You have Spurti by Seva. So Seva, the whole realm of Seva or Krishna's Seva is under the auspices or control of the Shakti, and the Shakti is Radharani. And the Guru represents Radharani, and the Guru represents Nityananda. So without Guru, there is no Seva. Right? So, okay. Well, then the next part of the purport. While the nature of her perverted reflection, in other words, the perverted reflection of chit potency, Maya, is envelopment in the gloom of ignorance. In other words, the nature of the chit potency or Ramadevi is to reveal Krishna, and the nature of her shadow is to make us forget Krishna or manifest the darkness of material ignorance. These are very elementary ideas, but this is what Brahma Samhita takes us through everything, Sambandha the Priyojana. Rest of the purport. When Krishna desires to manifest something in the mundane ignorance wrapped affairs, he does this by the conjunction of his spiritual potency with his inactive non-spiritual potency. One of the techniques of teaching any subject matter is repetition. So you've probably become aware that over these classes, these verses, Brahma is establishing law here, spiritual law, about his own revelation, his own realization, how he came about it and what he realized. But he's doing it in the form of teaching. He's a teacher, he's a guru. He has a sampradaya, right? Brahma sampradaya. So if he's a sampradaya, he means he's a leading guru. Who are disciples of Brahma? Narada Muni. So he's a guru, so he's a teacher, so he's teaching and he's using this principle or this technique of repetition. I mean, how many times have we discussed this whole point in the last few weeks? It's like, wait a minute, we heard that already. You know, the Maya and the Durga and this and that. So somehow Brahma thinks we're a little dull. He thinks we're a little dull, we're not very sharp, and we forgot 2 days ago's class, or we don't understand the principle. But he seems to be repeating it in these series of verses and also in the Jiva Goswami's purports in Bhaktisiddhanta's translation. So sometimes a student has to bear with the teacher because his mind and perception and understanding of the subject may race ahead of the teacher. Sometimes, maybe stay way behind the teacher also. So Brahma, he's taking us rather slowly through these conceptions. At least I had that feeling as I was studying over the summer. Wait a minute, we just went over this. Anyway, so another way of saying that sentence is that when Krishna desires to illuminate or reveal something in the material world of darkness, he does it by contacting the inner shadow of Maya with the transcendental power of his spiritual potency. And this is the constitution of Yogamaya. The rest of the sentence says, this is page 35 top. He does this by the conjunction of his spiritual potency with his inactive non-spiritual potency. This is known as Yogamaya. It carries a twofold notion, namely transcendental notion and mundane inert notion. In other words, there's two connotations, the Vaikuntha connotation or the Vaikuntha meaning and the worldly ignorant meaning. Next sentence. Krishna himself, his subjective portions, and those jivas who are his unalloyed separated particles realize the transcendental notion in that conjunction, while the conditioned souls feel the mundane, inert notion. In other words, those jivas who are completely pure, they experience the Vaikuntha connection or conception and that revelation, but materially conditioned souls feel the mundane, ignorant connection. In other words, when it becomes pure in consciousness, he contacts and experiences Yogamaya, and he realizes Krishna. And one who is impure in consciousness, full of ahankar, material desire, false ego, then he gets enveloped or covered by Mahamaya, the deluding potency, and he has no perception or understanding of Krishna. And then the next to last sentence. The external coating of transcendental knowledge in the conscious activities of conditioned souls bears the name of Yoga Nidra. This is also an influence of the chit potency of the divinity. This principle will be more elaborately considered hereafter. In other words, a screen veils the spiritual experience in the mind and senses of the materially conditioned soul. And this screen or covering is called Yoga Nidra. So Yoga Nidra seems to also have its place in a reflected or perverted reflected form within the conditioned souls. They're also in a Nidra. And they're in a Yoga Nidra. Nidra means a type of sleep or type of ignorance in this case. And that Yoga Nidra means because our consciousness is linked with Mahamaya. That's the yoga, that's the linking. So when our consciousness is linked with Mahamaya, that's called darkness, that's called ignorance, that's called forgetfulness. That's the type of Yoga Nidra. But the Yoga Nidra of Mahavishnu with Ramadevi is divine samadhi, transcendental ecstasy. As we heard yesterday, he's engaging in various pastimes there, unknown and unseen to us, but he's taken his potency within him, his Ramadevi within him, and they're engaging in confidential pastimes. And that's also called Yoga Nidra. Each of the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, has its own controlling deity. who is especially empowered by the Supreme Lord to do the work of his own potency. Because all these elements were created separately, they could not combine. The deities of the elements can't cooperate without a coordinating personality. Alone, they couldn't form the universes. So they prayed to Lord Mahavishnu. Hearing their prayers, Shiradakshaya Vishnu entered with his energies. Shiradakshaya Vishnu entered each element, right? Earth, water, etc. And you can see Bhagavad Gita 10:42. I think that says something about, I pervade the entire creation by a spark of my splendor. That discussion's there. It's in Bhagavad Gita 10:42. So Shiradakshaya Vishnu is always accompanied with his energies. Therefore, he entered the elements with his Kala Shakti, combining energy, and the Lord, and this energy is doing all the work for him of creation. He wants, you know, he has this desire to create the world, and it's all done by his energies. The Kala Shakti is an aspect of the spiritual potency, chit potency. The material side of this chit potency is called Kala Shakti, or time, which does the work of combining the material elements. This is, you can see in third canto of Bhagavatam, there's a discussion about the formation of the Virata Rup. I forget what chapter, maybe it's written here somewhere. You know, you ever read this? 26 or something like that. So this whole thing is discussed, how the time factor enters into the creation. So the Kala Shakti gave the material elements the potency to produce their products. Without the touch of the Lord's material, without the touch of the Lord, the material energy can't work alone. This is a summary. Mahavishnu is enjoying or consorting with his consort Ramadevi. She expands as Mayadevi, who takes on the role of material creation. And the Kala Shakti is one aspect of the spiritual chit potency, which is combining all these things. This is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters the universe. Yojayitva tutanyeva pravishesha swayam guham guham pravishte tasminstu jivatma pratibudyate. By conglomerating all those separate entities, he manifested the innumerable mundane universes and himself entered into the inmost recess of every extended conglomerate, Virat Vigraha. At that time, those jivas who had lain dormant during the cataclysm were awakened. It's another way to translate. This translation can be read like this. Amalgamating all those disconnected elements, he manifested unlimited material universes and personally entered the inner region of the universal forms. At that time, the jivas who slept at the cataclysm, that means the pralaya, were awakened. Purport. The word guha in this verse means hidden cavity or cave or core. It bears various interpretations in the Shastras. In other words, this word, there's many interpretations in the scriptures. In some portions, the non-manifestive pastimes of the Lord is called guha. And elsewhere, the resting place of the indwelling spirit of all individual souls is named guha. In other words, in some places, the unmanifested pastimes of the Lord is called aprakrita lila, aprakrita, right? Unmanifest. It's called guha. And in other places, the location of the individual super soul of each universe is called guha. In many places, the inmost recesses of the heart of each individual is termed guha. So guha can mean all these things. The innermost core of the heart of you and me, that's called guha. Guha means secret, hidden, cavity, cave, the cave of the heart, the core of the heart, the purport. The main point is that the place which is hidden from the view of men in general is designated as Guha. Right? Any place that the general observer can't see is called Guha. Those jivas that were merged in Hari at the end of the life of Brahma, it's interesting, you know, you see in these purports in the Brahma Samhita, all the time the word is used Vishnu and Krishna and Hari. And so you sometimes you think, well, who are they discussing here? Are they talking about Shirdakshay Vishnu or Garbhadakshay? Now that Hari, I thought Hari meant Shamsundar and Damodar. That's a rustic name. It's full of Leela. It's Prem Nam. But now they're talking about Mahavishnu as Hari. And then before, sometimes they use the word Krishna. Krishna did the creation. The last purport says, in accordance with the will of Krishna, this world is manifested. That's in page 34. Well, yes, it's Krishna, but it's actually Mahavishnu. So there's not, you might say, well, gee, they don't seem to be very particular about details here. And Lord Brahma in his speaking of the verses, or Jiva in his commentaries, he uses all these different Krishna, Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Lord, Hari, what's going on here? Because, as I mentioned the other day, is that the underlying theme is to remind everyone that the essence of it all, and underlying it all, the foundation of all of this is Krishna, Shamsundar, Damodar, Madhav. And so therefore, the Acharyas and Brahma, they will use these words to remind us that don't get hung up and think this is all happening because of Mahavishnu, or this is all happening because of Shirdakshay Vishnu. It's all happening because of Krishna, and it's happening because of his desire for Leela. Krishna is Leela Purushottam. He's always enjoying Leela. There's no such thing as karma and avidya in the spiritual world. The material world is characterized by these two features, karma and avidya. Ignorance and hard work. We have to work hard, even to digest our food. If you don't work, you can't digest your food. You can't just sleep all day or eat all day. It has to be some exercise, some movement, some work. And there's so much ignorance also. No one's born intelligent, but the spiritual world is self-luminous. There's no work, everything is Leela. Everything is pastimes, everything is enjoyment. And there's no ignorance there. Everything is fully cognizant, everyone's in full awareness. So this is a Leela of Krishna in his various expanded forms, what they say is plenary parts or plenary portions. Vivinamshavatar, Swamshavatar, Purushavatar. So we're being reminded, that's why these words will come up time to time. So those jivas that were merged in Hari at the end of Brahma. So that last sentence can be rewritten like this. In the previous millennium, all the jivas that were merged in the body of Sri Hari, or Mahavishnu, during the devastation of the universe that occurred at the end of Lord Brahma's life, were again manifested in the world in positions according to their previous karmas. Jivatma pratibuddhyate. That's the last line of this verse 20. Jivatma pratibuddhyate. That's what that means. The translation in the Sanskrit, it says like this. It says, Jivatma, the jivas, pratibuddhyate, were awakened. But Jiva says, what this actually means is that the jivas were manifested in this world according to their previous karmas. Whatever we did in our previous life, again, you come in this life. We sometimes say that's Prarabdha, Prarabdha karma. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir. We get a particular birth, a particular wealth and beauty and everything. It's determined by our previous karmas. So, I have some... Any questions about these things? Yes. Conscious means the mind and sense. If you listen to my rewording of the sentence, a screen veils the spiritual experience in the mind and senses of the materially conditioned soul. In other words, in the conscious activities, that means in the activities of thinking, feeling, and willing. In other words, in the activities of our mind, which is thinking, feeling, willing. Willing means the senses come into play. So in the activities of the mind and the senses, there's a screen, there's a veil that covers the spiritual experience. We don't see Krishna. We don't experience Krishna. We don't think and feel and will for Krishna. And we don't move for Krishna because there's a veil, there's a covering. It's a covering potency of Maya, which is here. The covering potency of Maya is here in this purport called Yoga Nidra. The covering of Maya is called a screen or a veil. The external coating is the screen or the veil, and the conscious. And you asked about in the conscious activities of conditioned soul is what you asked about. In the conscious activity means the actions of the senses and the mind. Because conscious means sentient. You're in Maya. The covering of Maya, the reflection of the spiritual yoga nidra. A lot of times, you know, these terms, you can see they're used both sides. There's Mahamaya, Yogamaya. There's Maya, but there's Yogamaya and Mahamaya. So this verse, it mentions Virat Vigraha. So I want to mention just a little bit about Virat Rupa. The eggs of the universe, because Jagat Anda, Anda means egg. So we're talking about these, they're shaped, the universe is kind of elliptical, they're shaped like an egg. You know, egg, they're not round, the universe is not round, and it's not oval, it's like an egg, it's elliptical. It's called elliptical. The eggs of the universe float on the causal ocean for eons of time, means long time. Then, Mahavishnu enters into each individual universe, and he's known as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, who's sometimes called Haranyagarbha Vishnu, the super soul of that universe. Since each universe is a closed sealed system, since each universe is a closed sealed system shaped like an egg, when Garbhadakshay Vishnu enters this closed system, he gets hot and perspires, filling up half the universe. And then he lies down on this Garbo ocean. That's how it's described. Like this room, if we close up everything and seal up, and then you come in here and you start sweating. So the universe, the universe is sealed up, it's, right? Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. So it's a pretty tight scene. It's a tight egg. It's a hot place. So he lies in there, and then he goes, wow. And then so this is the Virat Rupa, the universal form of the Lord, is not an eternal form. It is compared to the deity form of the Lord. The universal form is a conceptual form, a mentally tangible form of subtle nature. Oh, yeah, this is it. In 3rd Canto, chapter 6, verse 4, there's a chapter called Creation of the Universal Form. If you're really a serious student of this subject, you could read that chapter, Canto 3, chapter 6, the whole chapter, and you'll get a deeper and clearer understanding of this discussion of creation that we're having now in the Brahma Samhita, because they parallel one another. And you can also look up in the 11th canto. 11th canto, chapter 3, verse 12, and 11th canto, chapter 5, verse 2. There's some very nice discussion and purport about universal form. The universal form is described as a kalpana. Kalpana means like an imagination. a type of imaginary form, but this universal form is spread throughout the universe. The example is that the lower planets represent his limbs and ashramas and varnas. Ashrams and varnas are imagined to be placed on different parts of the universal form. So like we say, the brahmanas are the head of the universal form, sudras are the legs of the universal form, vaishyas are the stomach, kshatriyas are the arms of the universal form. The universal form is created to instruct Lord Brahma. The universal form embodies, sometimes they say, it was said both these ways. So the universal form, or Lord Brahma, embodies the desires of all the living entities within one universe. Just as the head of a family understands the needs and desires of all the family members, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu acts through his Kriya Shakti and Lord Brahma to make the individual jivas aware of their respective bodies. Right? This is a little piece about destruction of the universe. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu withdraws the universal form within himself and lies down for 1,000 years in Yoga Nidra after instructing Lord Brahma. So, there's another explanation here about jivatma pratibhudyate. Awakening of the jivas. This also means their destiny or karma is awakened at this point by the Lord. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu awakens all the sleeping souls lying within him. So, when you see this, when it's all broken up into compartments, sometimes it seems confusing. But like Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shirdakshaya Vishnu, and the creation of the universe and the implanting of the living entities, and Shambhu, and Durga, and Rama, and all these things are all happening like this. So that, you know, Mahavishnu is expanding so many universes from himself, and he's glancing at them, and then he's expanding along with the glance. He's also expanding in each of those universes, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, this is why they say that Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he's manifesting the jivas with their individual, because they're within him, they're within Mahavishnu, but then they're within Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, because they have to enter an individual universe, and that's done through the agency of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And then they have to get bodies. Well, that's done, you know, the sanction and the power to create bodies is the Kriya Shakti and ultimately Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, who empowers the little guy that comes out of here, you know, Lord Brahma in the individual universe, who also gives the bodies to those jivas. But he's not independent in doing it. We say Brahma's the creator, but he's a secondary creator to Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. We're going to hear some more about that also. When Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters each universe, he brings all the jivas with him to be born in that particular universe. Originally, all the jivas, quote, take birth from Mahavishnu. See Brahma Samhita number 10 purport. Pencil rays of the effulgence of Mahavishnu. But, you know, he's looking with the pencil rays, you know, the jivas coming out of him, but also coming out of him is Ramadevi, who becomes Durga, and also coming out of him is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So originally all the jivas take birth from Mahavishnu. Then, as Mahavishnu expands into so many Garbhadakshaya Vishnus and so many universes, each Garbhadakshaya Vishnu takes a portion of the living entities with him. See, Mahavishnu expands, you know, all these millions of jivas from his glance. But then he expands all these universes from his breathing and from his pores. And you have to wait. So from each universe, he's going in as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he's, you know, grabbing a piece of that glance, which has so many millions of living entities, You know, Jiva's, and he's going, he's taking him, you know, he's like a football or something, and he's entering in that universe, and then he lies down there and sweats, and then Brahma comes out, and then, you know, it's like, I'll read some more. It should gradually become a little clearer. If you, you know, if you have a good pair of glasses and, you know, you had a, you know, had a, too much prasadam for lunch, then maybe it becomes really clear. Now, so I'll just back up to kind of like shake you up again on that one. When Garbhodaksha Vishnu enters each universe, he, Garbhodaksha Vishnu, brings all the jivas to be born in that particular universe, right? Not all the jivas in that particular universe. Originally, all the sum totality of all the jivas, they quote, as Jiva put it in quotes, take birth from Mahavishnu. See Brahma Samhita number 10 purport. No. Mahavishnu. Then, as Mahavishnu expands into so many Garbhodaksha Vishnus and so many universes, each Garbhodaksha Vishnu takes a portion of the living entities with him. Pretty fastest tape flipper in okay. This is, how does Brahma get all the knowledge to do his work? Which we mentioned briefly, that along with the Kriya Shakti of Garbhodaksha Vishnu and Garbhodaksha Vishnu reminding of knowing the particular desires and karmas, jivatma pratibhudyate, knowing the particular desires and karmas of living entities, he along with Brahma, they combine to produce the bodies of the living entities, right? Brahma doesn't make living entities. He's the creator of what? Creator of bodies. Living entities are coming from Mahavishnu through Garbhodaksha Vishnu and cooperatively with Brahma. So how does Brahma get all the knowledge to do his work? Brahma is the most powerful living entity. And in each universe, he constructs the universe under Garbhodaksha Vishnu's direction. The Supreme Lord empowers all living entities, including Lord Brahma. Just like if you sit down and try to give a class on Brahma Samhita, maybe you'll be empowered to give the class, maybe not. So as Brahma is getting empowered, so is anyone who's doing anything, practically speaking. The Supreme Lord empowers all living entities, including Brahma, from within. From within, right? Inner inspiration, chapter 10, verse 10, Bhagavad Gita. Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. So he says, I give the intelligence. Intelligence means what? Means the power, willpower, means ichha shakti, means the ability and power to do something. No, that's the creative power. So that's the Supreme Lord. In a subtle form, Garbhodaksha Vishnu is within Lord Brahma's body. When Garbhodaksha Vishnu manifests the universal form, he simultaneously manifests the form of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the subtle form of the universal form. Garbhodaksha Vishnu gives Lord Brahma the subtle body of the entire universe before Brahma is born from the lotus coming from the navel of Garbhodaksha Vishnu. Wow. Garbhodaksha Vishnu teaches Lord Brahma how to create everything in a subtle way. Before Lord Brahma receives a gross body and works in a tangible way on the exterior platform of creation. Vanchakalpa Truvyascha Vipasindu Vayascha.